everyone, and welcome along to The Punts. It's all green on the board with each of our Napsters in profit this season. If anyone thought that was going to be the case at the start of the year, you're either ridiculously optimistic or clinically insane. We'll get to the best bets at the end of the show. Now, there's loads to come, including Derek's beer and more from the Football League guys. But first, it's over to DK and Alex, who are going to take you through the TV games in the top flight. Guys, over to you.
Thank you, Emma. It's good to have your company, folks, ahead of a new Premier League weekend. Alex Dunn alongside me here in the studio. I'm looking forward to this.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I feel like it has.
I've not seen you for ages, mate. But I'm not complaining.
No, me neither. I'm looking forward to this weekend. We've got the big one coming up at Old Trafford, Manchester United taking on Liverpool. But we start at Goodison, Everton versus West Ham. Everton, a shade of odds on here at 19-20 to win the game. The draw is 27-10. The Hammers 27-10 as well. Loads of enhanced odds on the website and on the app. I'll spin you through a couple very quickly. Everton to win the game and both teams to score. That's been boosted 9-4 out to 11-4. Sebastian Allaire to score and West Ham to win was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. It seems like Everton are on TV every single week.
I think they are.
We get to bash them every single week, and we have done throughout the majority of the season. But they're too short yet again at 19-20 to win this game. They've lost four straight matches. They're in the relegation spots in the Premier League. They've got a manager in Marco Silva. I'm not convinced he knows entirely what he's doing, especially defensively. And they come up against the most underrated side from a betting perspective in the entire division in West Ham. Grimacing there.
I typically will go against Everton. You typically will go for West Ham.
Correct.
So this should be fairly straightforward.
Yeah. It is for me.
Again, every single time we do an Everton game, I come into it and think, could I give them a chance here? But there is no way that they should be the price that they are. You said they're slightly odds on.
This is all about betting, isn't it? And they're slightly odds on.
They've lost four in a row.
Yeah, they have.
In what person would think that is a sound bet? I'm not saying they can't win this by any means.
Yeah.
Of course they can. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. It's the kind of game that I could see them winning. But to back them at odds on when they've lost four in a row and they're not playing bottom of the league here. West Ham are a tidy side.
West Ham haven't been beaten away from home this season. And I think they've got a better team than Everton this campaign.
I couldn't disagree with you. I think come the end of the campaign, I think they'll be very tightly grouped, these two.
Yep.
There won't be much between them. But again, from a betting point of view, that makes me want to back West Ham here, more than it does Everton.
Yes.
Because they are so much bigger. It is a difficult game, though, to get a handle on. I do think there'll be a lot of goals, though. I think it will be a really entertaining way to get the Premier League back underway.
Hopefully. I'm looking forward to this game. I think West Ham are going to edge it. I think they're a good price as well here, Alex.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you, to be honest. Everton are way, way too short of the betting. They've lost four in a row. West Ham should be winning this, really. But on the road, West Ham don't keep many clean sheets. Just two in the Premier League this calendar year.
Yep.
And they've not kept a clean sheet at Goodison since 2003. So you're leaning towards maybe a West Ham and both teams to score bet. But the best bet for me is a player, and it's Yarmolenko. He is fantastic. He scored a brace, actually, in this fixture last year, then got injured for a long time. He's creeping back to full fitness, scored for the Ukraine in midweek. I'm going to take him to score first, not any time, because he doesn't often finish his matches.
Mm.
So for him to score first is a massive, massive price. That's the best bet for me.
He's one of my favourite players as well.
I know he is.
Andre Yarmolenko to score first in the lunchtime kick-off, Everton taking on West Ham. Now it's time for a new feature on The Punt. It's called The Verdict. I'm not sure how we came up with the name, The Verdict, but that's what it's called. And it's a chat with our guests from the FWA, the Football Writers Association. They're going to pick out a topic and discuss it. And they're going to discuss who's going to finish third in the Premier League this season, because we know the top two are going to be Liverpool and Manchester City. What order, we're not quite sure. Who's going to finish third?
The team I'm going for to finish third is Arsenal. I think Unai Emery is still on a learning curve, but I think he's getting together a very decent squad. I like Kieran Tierney coming in to help out defensively. I think Rob Holding's return will also help out defensively. They're a little bit more solid now at the back. I think Guendouzi is becoming a midfield general, and in Aubameyang and Lacazette and Pepe, once he settles into life in England, they've got goals aplenty. Arsenal for third for me.
I think Chelsea can finish third this season. Frank Lampard inherited a difficult situation with a transfer ban and Eden Hazard gone. but look what he's done with the young players. Mount, Tomori, Abraham scoring goals, and now Callum Hudson-Odoi back from injury and firing again. It reminds me a bit of Spurs when Maurizio Pochettino took charge after a year. He brought in Harry Kane, Andros Townsend, Ryan Mason, and look what they went on to achieve. So Chelsea could go second temporarily, if they win on Saturday against Newcastle. So why not finish third?
At the moment, I'd have to say probably Arsenal. They've got a good squad. It's not perfect, of course, but with Manchester United and Chelsea both in transition, Tottenham having a difficult start to the season, I think the way is open for Arsenal to really push on. Unai Emery in his second season in charge, he's bedded in, he knows the Premier League, and who knows, they might even get a tune out of Mesut Ozil.
Arsenal for me, I think they've got great firepower, obviously Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Alexander Lacazette still to come back. I know they've been criticised this season for their defending, but they've got some key players to come back in Hector Bellerin, Rob Holding and Kieran Tierney as well. So I think that will shore up the back four. They've only lost once to Liverpool. I think all signs are pointing to Arsenal finishing third.
Jerry Cox there, the odd man out going with Chelsea. The others are all going with Arsenal to finish. In behind Manchester City and Liverpool. Got betting on the William Hill website and on the app for this market as well. Chelsea 7-4 in the market there. Arsenal 15-8. Spurs 5-2. Leicester City 8-1. Manchester United 12-1. That's missing a zero, I think, that price. And it's 50-1 and bigger the rest. I quite fancy Arsenal as well to finish third. I think Unai Emery is doing a good job with Arsenal. I think they're kind of coming out of that transition now. They've signed well in the summer. Nicolas Pepe, I think, is a fantastic player. Got Dani Ceballos on loan. I think Arsenal finished third at 15-8, personally.
I don't have a strong view on this. I'll say that now from a betting point of view.
Yeah.
But they all have their faults. Spurs look a bit big at the minute. That's because at the minute they look a mess.
Yeah.
Chances are they won't be a mess all season. So once they get out of the funk that they're in now, which could happen fairly soon, let's be fair, then they could be quite a big price there. Leicester are the tempters.
Yeah.
How good are Leicester? We're not really sure still, but they've already played some big teams this season. They played well at Anfield.
Yes, they did.
They played well at Stamford Bridge. They didn't play as well at Old Trafford. They lost there.
They've got a good manager, I think, in Brendan Rodgers.
Well, they've got a very, very good team.
Yeah, they've got an exciting team, haven't they, Leicester?
There's worse bets. 8-1,
yeah,
you say?
Yeah, 8-1.
There's worse 8-1 shots out there. I was going to say for Leicester to finish third sounds outlandish, but it's not. They won the league like 3 years ago. It's one of those things you forget, don't you, that happened. But yeah, they could be the value there. Of the big two in the betting, I prefer Chelsea over Arsenal, I think.
Okay.
But they're more exciting. Mm. They score more goals, they let more in. But Arsenal can't defend either, so I don't know. Go for Leicester. That's what I'd say. 8-1 is too big to be.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. Crystal Palace versus Manchester City coming up next. Then let's talk about this one. Crystal Palace 11-1 to win the game. The draw 11-2. Manchester City 24-100. Raheem Sterling to score first is one of many enhanced odds on the William Hill website and on the app. That was 3-1. That's been boosted out to 4-1. And if you fancy Sergio Aguero to have a major impact this weekend, for him to score two or more was 100-30. That's been enhanced to 4-1. Palace look a big price here, don't they? To 11-1. They've conceded less goals than Manchester City so far this season. And we talked at the beginning of the campaign about Manchester City losing Vincent Kompany, how that was going to affect them. Mm. They've lost John Stones to injury and Aymeric Laporte. And the consequences have been twofold, really. Fernandinho's had to drop back into that centre-half position, which means they're weaker defensively. And they're weaker in midfield as well, because he was talismanic last season with his performances. Because he's had to move back, it means they've not got the screen in front of the defence, and that's affected them as well. They've lost twice already this season, and they can't afford to lose again the way Liverpool are going.
What is the job of Rodri then?
Well, I just don't think he's as accomplished as Fernandinho.
Interesting. I think he probably is now, in terms of where they are in their careers. But then Fernandinho isn't as good now as he was 2 years ago.
That's a fair comment as well.
I think the key for them isn't Kompany leaving, it's Laporte being injured for City. Because he's been so good for them, basically since he signed. I thought he'd come in and be a bit part player. He's been the rock for them. So I think they're missing him. And it does mean now that teams will have a go at them. And cause problems, because we saw against Wolves before the international break, and that seems so long ago now, but Nuno outdid Pep tactically.
Yeah.
Adama Traore is not a fantastic wing back, but pace against Sterling, he was too good. And then he moved him up front and he scored twice.
Adama Traore is improving though, isn't he?
He's
learning all the time. He's benefiting from the coaching he's getting.
There's one English manager that's beaten Pep Guardiola, and it's Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
In this fixture last year at the Etihad, of course, Palace went there and won. I think I'm right in saying, by the way, don't quote me on this, I think Aguero has never scored at Selhurst Park.
All right.
Just drag that from the depths of my mind, so don't hold me to that. But he's got a poor record there anyway. I think it was in the last six he's not scored. So I wouldn't be too keen on City here. It makes for an interesting clash. And as you said, Palace are attempting at that price, aren't they?
I think it's a very interesting game, this one. Palace look overpriced to me. I know the temptation is to think Manchester City are definitely going to bounce back in this fixture. But Palace have beaten Manchester City recently in the Premier League. I think Palace look a big price here.
They are a big price, a little bit too big, and I couldn't put you off backing Palace. But the best bet for me here is I'm going to play the half-time, full-time market.
Okay.
Five of Palace's eight games have been goalless at the break. So I'm going to say that that'll happen again. Mm. And for it to be a draw at half-time and Man City to win in the end. I think it'll probably end up 1-0, possibly 2-0 to the away side. But I think it'll be really, really tight. I certainly wouldn't want to be lumping on Man City at the price that they are at all. But draw at half-time, Man City to win, is a fair price for me. And that'll be my pick.
Yeah, I'm liking the look of this fixture. Draw half-time, Manchester City full-time, the selection for Alex. And now let's get to our favourite bit in the programme. It's Derek's bit.
There's a fine line in football between success and failure. Most people call it Hadrian's Wall. And I trace it all the way to the identity of the gaffer. Get a managerial appointment right, for instance Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp, and success will follow. Get one wrong, for instance Man United and everyone, and you end up a laughingstock. United realised that they made a disastrous mistake when they appointed a manager with vast Premier League experience in Jose Mourinho, and so instead appointed Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, a manager with hardly any Premier League experience. The result? United are 3 points behind Burnley in the league table. A shocking indictment of Solskjaer's ability and an even more shocking indictment of Burnley's. 8 games into the season, it's hard to know what Solskjaer's best team is. My educated guess is Molde. United are almost 4-1 to beat Liverpool on Sunday. At Old Trafford, 4-1 at home against Liverpool. There's not a United player who'd get a game for Liverpool. I'm surprised any of them get a game for United. The more I look at it, the more Liverpool look like good things at just under even money. I intend to look at it a whole lot more. Bayern Munich have scored more goals in England this season than Everton. I say that not to disturb Everton fans. I say it to wind them up. And yet the Blues are for some reason odds on to beat West Ham on Saturday. There have been some bad bets this season, mostly on this podcast, but that takes the biscuit. The Everton squad is said to be 100% behind under-fire manager Marco Silva. 30% on Monday, 10% on Tuesday, 5% Wednesday. At their current rate, the Merseymen are scheduled to finish the season on about 33 points, and statistics don't lie, unlike me. West Ham have won at Goodison on 2 of their last 4 visits, and that was when they were crap. At 11-4, they are unmissable.
You can just hear it in Derek's voice. He's loving Manchester United's troubles at the moment. Derek going with the Hammers. That's his best bet this weekend, which I think is a fair selection
It's understandable. Yeah.
It's understandable. Let's talk about Manchester United versus Liverpool at Old Trafford. This one is extremely intriguing from a betting perspective. Manchester United 17-4, the draw 3-1, Liverpool 13-20. Enhanced odds, Liverpool to score over 2 goals, which I think many people will be looking at this weekend. That was 9-4, that's been enhanced to 11-4. And if you fancy Salah and Mane both to score, that was 4-1, that's been enhanced to 11-2. I say intriguing from a betting perspective. Forget about the big six now. This is the big two and everyone else. It really is. Even in their pomp, Manchester United going to Anfield were never odds on in the Premier League. Mm. You've got Liverpool at 13-20 here. Put this screen together. If you're listening, make sure you're watching. Because put the screen together, going through the odds for Liverpool as Jurgen Klopp has taken his teams to Old Trafford. March 2016, they were 15-8. That was the second leg of the Europa League clash. They'd won the first leg,
yeah.
So no need to win that game. Since then, 16-5, January 2017. 2018, early March, 6-4. February 2019, 11-10. Getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Not just because Liverpool have got better. It highlights the demise of Manchester United as well. Odds on to win at Old Trafford. Unthinkable 5 years ago.
And not just a shade of odds on either.
They're decent odds on, aren't they?
Verging towards banker material, the odds would suggest.
They're almost
anyway.
1-2.
Yeah. And what the screen doesn't show is, obviously, it's the inverse, but Man U getting bigger and bigger. They're almost 4-1 to win at home. That's astonishing.
It is astonishing, yeah.
But it's completely justified.
Yep.
Completely. Because if you take the personnel out of that Manchester United team and put them in someone else's shirts, then they would be that price.
And they've got injury problems this weekend as well. No David De Gea, Paul Pogba's missing. And you go through that team with
it's
those...
been missing for a while.
Yes, you go through that physically as well as mentally this weekend. You go through that team and they're just not very good, Manchester United, right now. They've got big issues, especially scoring goals. We talked about it on the punt a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They've not replaced Romelu Lukaku. I know he's been criticised heavily. Marcus Rashford won the September goal of the month for Manchester United from the penalty spot. They only scored once. And I can't... I find it impossible to make a case for Manchester United, even at these prices.
I find it very hard to make a case for them. You mentioned Rashford. He's the only player that I'd be willing to back to score for Man U. So if you are looking for a pro Man U bet, I think he's 23-10 to score any time as we record this.
Yeah.
That is... It's okay, because he will be on penalties if they get one. But it's difficult.
But then it's a lot of straw clutching going on.
Completely.
Isn't it?
But you saw Rashford in midweek for England, and he looked dangerous, and he looked like a player who could do things. Granted, that was against Bulgaria, who were poor. Liverpool, pretty good. But it is very difficult to make a case for Manchester United here.
You've talked about Rashford as a potential goal scorer. I'd say Mo Salah is going to step up this weekend. He's kind of been overshadowed by Sadio Mane in the opening couple of months of the season. We've got a headline here, When Harry Met Salah. That's stolen from the Manchester Transport Services, who tweeted out earlier in the week, but it's so good. And he's faced Harry Maguire in his career four times, and he scored three goals in those four appearances. I think he might be set for a big weekend, Mo Salah.
Yeah, he's one of those players that he could be completely quiet and still pop up and score. Again, penalties could be a key part of this game. It could well be that he could notch. It's interesting. He's one of those players that you can never rule out, but he's quite a short price, isn't he, to score, particularly at Old Trafford.
Yep.
I'd be probably swerving him on this occasion just as a value play, if nothing else. There is one bet that I really do like here, and I said it's hard to make a case for Man U in any way, shape or form. I'm going to make a case for them in one way, shape or form. Man U to have the most corners is a huge, huge price, because Liverpool don't get many corners in games. If you think you've got Mane on one side, Salah on the other,
yeah.
and they're both cut in.
Yeah.
Yes, you've got the fullbacks bombing on, but they don't have loads of corners. So far this season, corner betting alone, Liverpool 4-4.
Okay.
Man U 6-2 up.
Okay.
And since the last international break, Liverpool have played a fair few games. They've only had the most corners twice, both at Anfield against Newcastle and in the Champions League as well. So, you know, when you just think, that was against Salzburg, by the way, when you just think, there could be some value there, and it's a big, big price, Man U, to have the most corners. That could be worth a look. It's an obscure market, but it is one that I quite like.
As far as this game is concerned, Manchester United just won't be able to keep up with Liverpool, I don't think. Since beating Chelsea on the opening day of the season, they failed to score more than once in 10 competitive fixtures. Liverpool will win this game. They're odds on to do so. It's amazing to think they're odds on. But Liverpool win. What's the bet for you?
They are a crazy price, Liverpool, but it's completely justified with Manchester United's recent performances. Liverpool, let's not forget, are on a fantastic run themselves.
Yeah.
And they will win this, I think. I think when it boils down to it, you can look at it and go, do I really want to back them at that price? But I think it is justified. So I'd be looking at Liverpool. I'd be looking at Liverpool minus a goal as
well. Yeah, I like that.
I think that's probably the way to go to get the most value out of the game. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be an interesting watch. But I can't see anything other than a Liverpool win, and I think it'll be fairly comfortable in the end.
Liverpool minus one, the bet for Alex in the fixture this weekend. It's Manchester United versus Liverpool at Old Trafford, 4:30 kickoff.
Control is everything.
We finish the Premier League weekend with Sheffield United versus Arsenal at Bramall Lane. Sheffield United are 14-5 to win this game. They draw 14-5, and Arsenal in the market at 10-11. Loads of enhancements on the website and on the app. I'll spin you through a couple. Sheffield United, if you fancy them, for them to score in both halves was 100-30. That's been enhanced to 4-1. If you fancy Arsenal to win both halves, I quite like the look of this actually. 4-1 out to 5-1. For the Gunners to win both halves. And perception is key, I think, here. The perception is that Chris Wilder's doing a fantastic job, and I think he is, but they've only won twice this season. It's not quite borne out by the results, and they've failed to score in their last three in all competitions as well. So I think Sheffield United are still going to be, come the end of the season, in that relegation dogfight.
Yeah, I'd agree. It will be a long season for them, but they do play decent football, we know that, which almost won't help them against Arsenal. I think the best way to beat Arsenal is to Bolton them, to Sam Allardyce them, basically. So you will have styles here that they're not too similar, but you like Arsenal here. And the price of them is really tempting, because how often do you get a side of Arsenal stature at this kind of price against a newly promoted side? It doesn't happen often, does it?
No, it's a rarity. And I think Unai Emery's team are still underrated. I think they've really improved this season. And I expect them to be, as we mentioned earlier, in the shake-up for that third spot. They're not going to get near Liverpool or Manchester City, obviously. Mm. But yeah, I think Arsenal are a good bet here. I think they'll win this game. I like the 10-11. And I like Arsenal to win and both teams to score, which is 9-4 as well. Yeah, so I think Arsenal will win. You're not so sure.
I'm less confident just because defensively Arsenal are vulnerable. Two away clean sheets in, I think, the last 20-odd.
Yeah.
Not a great record at all. Only one clean sheet away this season. That was at Newcastle. The away clean sheet last season was at Watford. Watford had 10 men on that occasion. Newcastle effectively are a player down because of Steve Bruce. Let's just blame him for things. then I just think it's one of those games that I've just got a feeling for Sheffield United. I think that they could graft their way to a win here. Let's not forget, the last time these two met in the Premier League, Sheffield United won 1-0, and Phil Jagielka ended up in goal for the last half hour. That's how comfortable it was for Sheffield United. They could put a defender in goal, and he still kept a clean sheet. I don't think it'll be comfortable, but I quite fancy them here.
I disagree. I fancy Arsenal in this game. I think Arsenal will win and both teams will score. Their defensive record away from home is shocking, Arsenal. So I think they'll concede in this game. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has got to be the man to look at. He's terrific away from the Emirates. Mm. So I'm going Arsenal to win and both teams to score, and Aubameyang's going to score as well.
I think Sheffield United are a good bet here. They're a good price. Monday night game, under the lights, Bramall Lane. They will make it difficult for Arsenal. An Arsenal side who defensively are poor. Do Arsenal fancy it, Dave? Not as much as Sheffield United. I'm going for a home win.
That's such a cliche. home win for Alex. I'm going with the Gunners to triumph and both teams to score in the match as well. And now, we're all in flying form as far as the Naps are concerned. Let's hear from the Football League guys as they give you a treble for this weekend.
My Championship nap of the weekend is Preston North End at 29-20. They hit 5 past Barnsley the other weekend and looked absolutely devastating in front of goal. Now, while their away form isn't phenomenal, they're taking on a Reading side who sacked their manager, have employed an interesting new one, and for me, provide no value in this market whatsoever when you consider they've won just 2 games so far this season. This one looks simple to me. It's Preston North End, 29-20, my Championship nap this weekend.
My nap this weekend is all about the best side in League One, already 4 points clear top of the table and have won 9 of the last 10 games in all competitions. Sunday afternoon action, Ipswich are evens away at Accrington. That's a nice play. You could boost the price and go for Ipswich and under 2.5 goals in their last 3 away games. They've won 1-0, 1-0 and 1-0. It's the first league meeting between these two sides at the Wham Stadium, and I have faith that Ipswich will win at evens.
Crewe top of the table, 11 points from the last available 15, hosting a Swindon side whose undeserved home draw with Plymouth last week ended a run of three straight defeats in all competitions. 13-10 is fine, but Swindon averaged 2.8 goals this season. Crewe averaged 3, and there have been 12 goals in the last 3 at Gresty Road. Crewe top the table, but best goal scorers as well. Also, the joint second worst defensive record in the top half. That is joint with Swindon. So I'm going to take the 13-10, bump it up, 23-10 for Crewe and over 2.5 goals. There you have it then, a treble from the Football League, guys, and you can see the Naps table. If you're listening, do make sure you're watching because on YouTube you'll be able to see all green, and that's the first time I think this has ever happened on this programme.
I can't remember a time when it was ever all green. We all have our moments, and it appears that we've been quite top heavy with our moments this season.
Yeah, I think I'm having all my moments in one year.
Yeah, if you're listening to this in sort of March, April time, you're probably thinking, phew, 2020's been rough on these lads. But whatever happens, we'll all be in profit next week as well, which...
So we can brag about it all over again.
We'll still be going.
Yeah. I'm going with Arsenal to win and both teams to score as my best bet. As mentioned earlier, I think 9-4 is a cracking price. Arsenal don't keep clean sheets away from home, but they are a much better side this year. They're a shade of odds on to win the game, which I like as well. But 9-4, value, I think, on Arsenal to win and both teams scoring.
Now... Last week, I was very unlucky, firstly. Bosnia were around even money, and I went for them to win to nil.
Yeah.
A little bit greedy, maybe.
A little bit greedy.
And they were 4-0 up against Finland and then let a goal in late, which was gutting.
This isn't greedy.
No.
I don't like this one.
I like Bournemouth, and I was tempted to be greedy again, but instead I thought, no, Alex, let's keep it safe. Basically, I really want to beat you, and... I've got to bridge that gap.
You're not going to do it with 7-10 shots, just chipping away.
My logic is, firstly, Bournemouth-Norwich could be over 6.5. I don't say that flippantly.
I'm surprised you didn't go Bournemouth win and both teams to score. You said you were a bit greedy last week.
Yes.
I think you should be greedy this week.
I will tell you for why, Dave. Norwich, away from home, are a side I am looking to take on. I did it a few weeks ago with Crystal Palace. Again, we mentioned perception is everything.
Yes.
And the perception of Norwich is that they are free-flowing and they score loads of goals. Well, they let in more, firstly. And away from home, they could just be pants. They could be. So I don't want to be
You're bringing
banking.
Back pants, aren't you?
I don't want...
That's not going to catch on.
I don't want to think that they score here and that is... I don't want to bank on them scoring, and that's what lets me down, is what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah.
If you're backing, if you'd think there's going to be loads of goals, which I do, to be fair, and I do think they will score, but I'd play Bournemouth winning over 2.5.
Okay.
Just in case it's a 3-0.
Yeah.
I do think there'll be loads of goals, though. If you, hand on heart, what's the correct score here? I'd say 3-1, maybe 4-1, something like that. But I'm playing it safe with the nap. But that is the game that I'm most excited about of the whole week, just because we'll see goals. I'm certain of it. If it's 0-0, I'm not going to say what I'll do, because then you'll make me do it.
Well, I'm going to make sure someone clips this up for future reference if it finishes 0-0 as well.
Surely it can't be. But I think Bournemouth are a fine bet. They're good at home. They score a lot. Yes, they concede a lot, but they are a better team than Norwich, and they will win. Also, there wasn't much else I fancied, naps-wise.
Okay.
I thought about Sheffield United, genuinely.
Oh, well, you'd have been wrong on that score. Mm. Thank you, everyone, for watching the pun this weekend. Hopefully it's not been pants, and you can tell your friends about the show as well. It's available on YouTube. And check out all the betting as well at williamhill.com and on the William Hill app. And myself and Alex, we will be back next week.
Oh, no, I won't be. I'm not here next week.
Oh, you're not here next week.
It'll be you and a mystery guest.
That's a shame. I'll have to survive without Alex next week. Thank you for watching the show, and we'll be back in some form for the punt next week.